One. So I was just, me and my wife were going outside the house and just looking at the surroundings and the malls and, you know, the theater. And were some of you looking for, like, bargains out there? There were some people looking for bargains and things. But, you know, as people were looking around, I thought, why not we look around with what God is doing in our community? What if the kingdom of God is really present within us, and then it's just waiting for us to unleash that power that is within us? So I'd like to show you this short video that hopefully will give an introduction to what I'm going to talk about today.
What our communities look like if you could say the kingdom of God is here? This is an age-old question asked by people from all walks of life some 2,000 years ago. So I decided to take a fresh look through the eyes of our generation. I asked the question in the churches, streets, government offices, restaurants, hospitals, and everywhere I can get people to answer it. Here are some of the answers I gathered after several months of asking the question. A Central Indiana mayor said,
I think the presence of God is actually already here in my city. However, if everyone would act more Christ-like, then we'd have a much better neighborhood. If all of us were conscious of God's presence, then it might definitely be a better community.
A restaurant waitress answered,
well, I think that people would be more real and less fake. They'd believe more in God and not just putting on a show for anybody.
A medical professional replied,
I think the kingdom of God would manifest through the actions of God's people.
A pastor said,
we'd be a people of unity. There would be into what's wrong, more joy, peace, and happiness.
Jesus introduced, proclaimed, and demonstrated the kingdom of God. It was prophesied hundreds of years before he came to earth. It was the main message of Jesus. He taught it by telling stories and parables. He modeled it through his life. He taught it by delegating and involving others in his work. After he left the earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower the disciples and the early believers. Then, the New Testament was written to teach us about the kingdom. Jesus reminded his disciples that the kingdom of God is within us. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor people will say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Jesus was telling them that the kingdom of God would come to you if you allow God to be sovereign in your life. It is the state of being saturated and consumed by God, literally becoming the dwelling place of God's kingdom, so that what comes out of us is in accord with the heart of God. However, through the generations, Christians and non-Christians alike have debated the question. The world is looking to Christians for answers through their words and actions. They want to see the tangible evidence of the kingdom in their everyday lives. They want to see the reality of the teachings of Jesus in their families, schools, businesses, and the marketplace. Some are looking for the raw power of God through miracles, signs, and wonders. But some have just walked away from their faith because the kingdom is still a big question to them. The Kingdom in Our Midst is a book comprised of real-life stories of miracles, signs, and wonders, backed up by biblical references and pictures of the actual events. It is a book that will challenge the readers with thought-provoking questions to reveal new reality in their lives. It is a book that demystifies the word missions. It will guide you to discover the supernatural world within you. It is full of stories that will help open your eyes to the spiritual realm that is present and active in our world. Questions are all over the book, such as, when you look at your city, can you say that God is present there? Why did Jesus have more conflicts with the teachers of the law and Pharisees than with sinners? Are miracles, signs, and wonders still relevant in our culture? because of the numerous questions in the book and my passion to share what God had done in the lives of countless people, a class called A Study on Living in God's Dominion Here on Earth was developed. It is now available to churches, ministries, and businesses. It's a class for everyone, young and old, who want to answer the age-old question. What would our communities look like if you could say, the kingdom of God is here?
I had fun doing that. But really, is the kingdom of God real in our lives? Today, I love the song. The song selections, Vicky, by the way, were really good. And, you know, one of the songs says, my heart desires to honor you. Do we honor God by being obedient? We talk about obedience. Do we honor God and do we actually live for God alone? Do we actually breathe God in every minute, in every second of our lives? What is your heart's desire for 2016? You know, unlike some, you know, many people out there, they're just looking for bargains, or sometimes they're depressed because, okay, holiday is gone, I'm going to take down the lights of my trees. By the way, I still have to do that myself. And, you know, you have to do all these things. You have the New Year's resolution. What if your New Year's resolution would be to expand the kingdom of God through you? What if the Bible is true when saying the kingdom of God is within you? I want to read you something because we had a lot of stories here. And, this is the book that I wrote in 2012. And if you're interested on this, you can just let me know. But this is not about this book. This is about the things that God had done. And God can do things through you mightily, so powerfully, you can't even believe it. Because we have the God of impossible. So I'm just going to read this to you. I want to demystify that miracles only happen with super spiritual people. That healing can only be done by pastors or people who are so experienced, theologians and all the... You know, Jesus had more conflict with the Pharisees than the drunkards, than the prostitutes. So I want you to really just own what we sing about today. I want you to own that the kingdom of God is within you. Unless you are ready to unleash it, it's going to be hard for you to see it. So I was tired of it. After a year or two of Bible study, I became Christian back in just 2001. And I was just tired of Bible study, just meeting all this time. And I said, what's next? This is boring. Not that the Word of God is boring, but I want to see it. I don't want to just read it and then say, wow, that's great. These are the super people that can do the kingdom of God in their midst. So I went to a hospital. I didn't have to wait for my church. I said, I just want to go there and put myself on the line. And once you put yourself on the line and really trust nothing else but Jesus, then something happened. So after 3 short months, I had seen many patients, different kinds of health issues. I developed some close friendship with a few of them. It helped me to see my perspective in the right direction. When you're in hospital, people dying, it puts you in the right direction. There's urgency in the Word of God to go in people's heart. Life is fragile and life is short. You never know when your time here on earth will end. I've heard stories of patients who were healthy and in an instant became paralyzed by a disease or an accident. I became friends with a few nurses, and they came to know me as the man who prays for people. I was not a clergy. I was not a pastor. I just want to pursue God. One fall afternoon, I stopped by the hospital chapel as it had been my routine before visiting patients. As usual, I prayed that God will guide my steps to the right people and that He would teach me His ways. 3 hours went by fast, visiting and praying for patients. I just had a few minutes to exchange pleasantries with some nurses and had decided to go home. While I was in the elevator, I somehow audibly heard to go back. As I stepped out of the elevator at the ground floor, the urge got stronger to go back. But where will I go? You ever heard God speaking to you that way? Just like, I just have to speak it. I just have to go back. I got back in the elevator asking the Lord where He wanted me to go. This conversation with Him seldom happened to me. As I was asking Him to go where I should go, the elevator suddenly opened at the top floor. I stepped out and said hi to a nurse at the nurse's station. I did not know where to go, so I went to a room where an out-of-town patient stays. I visited her for several weeks and had watched her body deteriorate fast. She must be the reason why I came back, I thought to myself. We spoke for a few minutes when suddenly I heard a loud banging from down the hall. I heard a voice of a woman shouting, "Why?" And then the banging continued on the wall, "Why?" over and over again. After a minute or two, I heard footsteps coming toward the room where I was. Suddenly, I felt I would be called to go to that room where there was a lot of commotion and medical people going in and out. I thought to myself, I'm not ready for this. You ever feel that way? God wants to use you, and you said, no, you're wrong, God. I'm not ready for this. Immediately, I had my silent conversation with the Lord. A nurse came rushing into the room. I know you're not a clergy, but I know you pray for people. I need you to pray for the patient 2 rooms down. Can you imagine that? It was a setup. I asked God, and He answered me. I was not ready. I did not even have time to respond to the nurse, and I followed her immediately. As we were walking down the hallway, I had a quick conversation with God. I told Him I wasn't ready for this, and I didn't know what to do. In fact, I didn't even know what was happening in that room. My conversation with Him was interrupted when I peeked through the doorway in this particular room. It felt cold, eerie, and it was chaotic. In the room were nurses, doctors, and other medical professionals frantically trying to resuscitate a man. Some were going in and out of the room, and some were attending to the patients. There were all kinds of medical machines, an oxygen tank and mask being moved around. I saw the mother of the patient pounding her hand on the wall, screaming, "Why?" and other words I could not understand. My frazzled mind quickly argued with God that I would not go in there and be in the way of medical professionals. I would not interrupt what they were doing to bring this man to life. I don't want this man to die. I don't want to be there. I want the medical professional to do their job. But God had another reason why I was there. The scene before me was utterly shocking. I looked at the patient. He was in his late 20s or 30s. He was lying face up, positioned with his head at the foot end of the bed, fully naked and blue in the face. His mouth was foaming with white, thick saliva. That was the first time I'd seen that kind of thing. His stiff body shook violently. Somehow I focused my attention on his eyes, which were rolled back into his head, showing only the white part. All white, the eyes. Though he could not focus, his eyes somewhat were piercing my soul while staring at me. In a split second, I knew he could not see me, but it seemed like his eyes were sending signals to me. They were conflicting messages. One message was begging me to help him, while the other told me to go away and leave him alone. It was a bizarre moment for me, and I did not know what to make of it. Suddenly I saw a path cleared to me to walk toward him. The room suddenly got quiet, and it seemed like everyone froze as I approached him. It was like a moment in time when someone hit the pause button in the world, in the universe. I placed my hand on his head as I was kneeling down. I prayed quietly, "God, heal this man," and quickly got up to get out of the way of everyone. Simultaneously, as I was getting up, the room got busy and loud again. Then, as I took my first step away from the patient, the room suddenly got quiet again. I could hear a pin drop in the room. I saw everyone was looking at the patient. No one was talking or moving. His mother stopped shouting and banging on the wall. I looked back to see what happened. To my amazement, the man stopped shaking and stopped foaming in the mouth. In an instant, he had returned to normal and his body was relaxed. I could not believe my eyes witnessing all of this. I went back outside the room while wondering what just happened. Sometimes many times when God called you to do something, you may think you're not ready. I thought to myself, I'm not qualified for this. Only the professional Christians, maybe. But God is within us. So our verse today is Luke 17:20-21. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed, nor people will say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom is in our midst." That's in the NIV. In King James, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom cometh not with observation. Neither shall say, "Lo here, lo there." Behold, the kingdom is within you." So God is saying that the kingdom is within us. So I just want to tell you briefly the background of why Jesus did that. You want to understand what the scripture is saying. So before he said these verses, Jesus was very, very busy proclaiming, preaching, teaching the kingdom of God and demonstrating, healing the blind, casting out demons, healing the sick. So it was a combination of proclamation and the demonstration of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what Jesus did. So, and that's why the Pharisees were just like, "What is happening here? People are flocking to Jesus and asking what's happening, and these miracles are happening." They even called the blind man to be investigated by the Pharisees in John and say, "Hey, were you really blind? You see, when you do things for God and the impossible happen, people will question you. You're going against the grain. This is against the tradition of this church or denomination. But you cannot contain God with our logical mind and with our experience." So everyone was stirred up. Or maybe the Pharisees were just saying, "What is this reality happening? Is this the new thing that's happening, the new reality in the world?" And that's really what Jesus is telling you today. You have reality in your hearts, in your minds, in your soul, in your being that needs to be unleashed, and the world needs to see it. You have that. Don't be fooled by the devil. You actually become a slave of the person that you believe. Who do you believe? So everyone was stirred up about the kingdom that Jesus was preaching. And perhaps the Pharisees were, heard that when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And this is what he says in Mark 6:9-10. "This then is how you should pray." This was Jesus teaching the disciples. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious people were just like after Jesus. what is this teaching that you're doing? It's not possible. And they were wanting to raise a kingdom. However, the kingdom in their mind was not the kingdom that God is about to bring, is already bringing into the world. So what did Christ say about the coming of the kingdom? Let's take a look at it. I only got 2 points here with sub-points. So if you're taking notes, this is what I found out. First, we do not know what we're asking. When is the kingdom? When is the kingdom coming? We don't know what we're asking. The Pharisees and many people confined kingdom and Christianity in their own temple buildings, in their own churches in our present time, and in our own denomination. But kingdom is infinite. Kingdom is beyond time and space. The kingdom is immeasurable. That's the first sub-point for this. Kingdom is immeasurable. It reaches beyond our church buildings. Yes, it's good to do food pantries inside the churches. We do that. But the people are also needing that outside. Yes, we want to do arts in the church. But who needs it more? The creative expression of God through us. People are waiting for us out there. Our logical minds cannot comprehend it. Okay, we say, well, that doesn't make sense. Okay, is your mind bigger than God? Our minds, many times, we just want to explain it based on our thinking. We just want to, explain it based on our experience. Based on our tradition, based on our, denomination. But it is, as Jesus said, it is not something that can be observed. That's what Jesus, because the kingdom is within us. You actually express the kingdom through your soul. The expression of the kingdom can be personal. Consumed by the Holy Spirit. It's different. Kingdom happened to a person in different way and to other people in different ways. So we cannot just confine the kingdom. Second point is this. It is a spiritual kingdom and it's not of this world. If you compare the kingdom of God with this world, you're wrong. You're going to be frustrated. And that's why many people from the church walk away of the church. You saw the video there? They were looking for raw power of God and it's not happening because they tried to explain it in their own logical mind. They tried to compare the kingdom of God with the kingdom of the world. Big error. I'm not saying, for us, it is big. So no one can really define what the kingdom is. It starts not. That's why Jesus said, time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near, in Mark 1:15. Repent and believe the good news. So it does not start with careful observation, but by repenting and believing the good news. That's where the kingdom is based, with the word of God. Unless we turn away from our sins and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will miss the kingdom. The second sub-point in this one is that we have to be saturated by the Holy Spirit to realize the manifestation of the kingdom. It's not through your own strength. Somebody says that it's not what you can do for God, but what God can do through you. Imagine that. If you say, I'm a willing vessel, that's what we always sing and in the worship. God, I am your vessel. And if our vessel is empty of the world view and full with the Holy Spirit, then we can overflow with the world. And we can see the manifestation of the kingdom coming from within us into the world. And the third sub-point here is that It's a revolution that starts in our hearts. Our hearts need to be transformed for God. Our hearts need to be consumed by God before we can see the reality of God's kingdom manifest in our lives first and in the lives of others. So, how practical is the kingdom? You know, these things are just like, yeah, you know, that's good, good stories, but practically, how? What can we do now or after church? How can we experience the kingdom starting within us and share with others? Again, you don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to be a pastor. Once you sign up to be a Christian, you're already in the army of God. And God expects you to go out there. There was a story. You know, I used to work in a cruise ship. There was a story of a man from a third world country who wants to go to the United States or a superpower. Okay, so he saved a lot of money. And he saved a lot of bread. So that because the trip is long. So he boarded the ship. After he boarded the ship, he went in a small corner, paid the fare and small corner, and then waiting until he gets to the other side, to the other country. So like three times a day, he hears the bell ring. And then every time the bell rings, people eat. He will go to the dining room and eat. But since, you know, he believed that he's not privileged, he did not pay for that, and he doesn't want to go out there, he just eats his bread. Then soon, he reached another country. And he was so happy. And then people, you know, walking outside on the galley, and then he talked to somebody. He said, yeah, you know, you must have spent a lot of money to have drinks, to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, well, when you board the ship, everything is included. When you become a Christian, you're already included in the manifestation of the kingdom in our midst.
Amen.
Don't be fooled by the world. Many of us say, God is my Lord and Savior. But for many of us, it's God is only our Savior. We wait until the kingdom come, the second coming of Christ. Lord means Lord of my life. Lord means I follow what he teaches me in the Bible. I follow that he says, go out there and heal the sick, feed the poor, and cast out demons. I follow because he's my Lord. He's my follower. Jesus said that even, the Bible says, even the devils rod and tremble because he believes in God. Many of us probably are believers, and he's not the Lord of our lives. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Does he manifest in your life? Or we just say, no, I just let the professional Christians do the work. I just let the ministers, the food pantry people do that. Is God, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Or is Jesus your Savior alone? You don't need to look around for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is within us. Like the Pharisees, they are looking for the kingdom. But it's already within us. Our neighborhoods are waiting to see the raw power of God. People outside of the church are looking for the manifestation of the raw power of God. And that's within us. The God who created heaven and earth and the universe resides within us. We are the temple of God. Can you imagine that? So today, I would like for you to ask yourself, What does God want me to do to express the kingdom of God in my surroundings, in my workplace, in the school, outside of this church building? We long to see God work in our lives, right? There's two parts. One is God and one is us. God has given you a gift. You have to accept it. God has commanded you to express the kingdom. It's up to you to act on it. Because if you don't, you are cutting short what God has given you. You are missing, just like that man, that everything is for his grab, but he did not know it. But now we know that the God of the universe resides within us, and he says, you can do all these things and even greater things only if you believe. So is God only your Savior, or is God, Jesus Christ, also your Savior and the Lord of your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today. Thank you, Lord, that as you leave the earth physically, you left the Holy Spirit for us. And that Holy Spirit resides within us. And Lord, we ask that you give us boldness to express your love for your people. Lord, that in love, love conquers all, even our fear to go out there. Love conquers even our fear that we may look fool in the eyes of the world. But Lord, I ask for that boldness, holy boldness that you have put in our hearts. I ask, Lord, for grace that you open not just our eyes but our hearts to what is possible, what you have planned for us. She said in Ephesians that you already ordained the things that we're going to do. All we have to do is step out there. Miracles are waiting to happen through us. And miracles are waiting for other peoples through us. So, Lord, I ask now for the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that you transform our minds, you said in Romans. The renewing of our minds, Lord, of our soul. Lord, that we actually live out what we say and what we pray. That in every breath we take in the Holy Spirit. That in every minute of our lives, Lord, we live for you and not for the world, not for ourselves. Lord, that we will be consummated and consumed with your love and with your fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.